So the principle that we were talking about is get yotze mitach chasidei shnehem, and let's just be very, very clear about this, that when you have somebody who's appointed as a shaliach, the din derabanan of the full ne'emanus goes into effect, as mitachas yad echad, mishum aguna akilu barabanan. We've seen that many, many, many times. That was the whole premise at the beginning of the Masechta. And then get yotze mitach chasidei shnehem, right, has the same basic principle. But we saw yesterday in Rabbi Bar Chana, as you saw in the notes as well, that in that case, what makes that a little bit different is since you already have two Edim, technically speaking, they really wouldn't need to say anything at all, because as he says, Ibai Amri, if they wanted to say in front of us that she had been divorced and they were the Edim Misira, we would believe them too. It's two Edim. You believe them about whatever they're saying. I mean, that's the definition. Al Pishnai made him Yakum Davar. But in any event, they would have Ne'emanos as well. Bifaneinu Nechta, Bifaneinu Nechtam. We had some questions about Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan on that point, and we're going to come back to a little bit of that discussion. So we're on the top of Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. We had discussed a little bit of a parenthetical point of the Chavrei, who were they? So the Machlokas between Rashi and Tosus. Rashi says it was the Parsiim, and somehow the Parsiim are worse than the Romans. Not the way we typically think about it, remember, because Koresh Melech Paras was the one who said, Mibachem Hashem Eloka Vima V'yal, that, you know, he allowed for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara Megillah does indicate that Koresh kind of, you know, went off the, you know, into the dark side later on in his career. And Tosus disagrees, and he says the Chavrai were individuals who, or I should say a nation, really, that came and invaded and sort of took over Persian culture, not in a positive sense either, really in a very negative sense. But the upshot of it was, remember that they wouldn't let people light candles outside of their base of Avodah Zarah on particular days, so this became a great challenge for the Neiros Chanukah, as we know. So at the two dots, on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, 8 lines from the top. So Echad Omer B'fanei Nechta, V'shnei Omer B'faneinu Nechtam Kasher. So Amr Bami, Amr B'yotchan Lo Shalua Sheget Yotzei Mitachas Yad Eid Ksiva, Denasu Kishnayim Alzeh, Kishnayim Alzeh, Ava Mitachas Yidei Eidei Chasim Apostle. So we have a distinction that we haven't seen yet in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that there's a special tkifus, there's a special yichus that the Eidei Ksiva have over the Eidei Chasima. The Eidei Ksiva are the ones who actually saw the get being constructed, right? So this is an earlier stage, and especially from the perspective of Rabbah, let's remember what was Rabbah's whole direction here. He says it's a Bekiyan Lishma, that the get has to be produced Lishma. So that's going to be much greater than the Eidei Chasima in terms of what they could say. They just, you know, sign on to the document. So Amma Kasav Rishnaim Shiviyu Gemi Dina Sayam Tzrichan Shiyomru B'faneinu Nechtav U'ifaneinu Nechtam. You can't just say the second part of it. The first part is absolutely essential. So Amma Le Rabasi Alamiyata Reisha, beginning the Mishnah, the Kanishtayim Omri B'faneinu Nechtav Echon Omri B'faneinu Nechtam Pasol Rabbi Yudha Machshir V'afilu Ged Yotzi Mitachas Yidei Shneihem Pasli Rabbanan. He says, wait a second. Even if the Ged is Yotzi Mitachas Yidei Shneihem, the rabbis should take a machmir stand on this issue unless we have the Eidei Ksiva in full. So Amar Lai says, you're absolutely right. In. So Zin Neshkechei Diyasev Ka'amar, there were other times that people get Yotzi Mitachas Eidei Chasima Kasher, where, you know, it wasn't the Eidei Ksiva privileged over the Eidei Chasima. So Amal Kasavar, Shnaim Sheviu Ged Medina Sayam, and Tzrichin Sheyomru B'faneinu Nechta B'faneinu Nechtam, because they have no idea about the Ksiva. They were only there at the stage of Chasima. So Amalei Rabasi, Elamiata, Reisha Dektani, Shnaim Shomer B'faneinu Nechta, V'achanomer B'faneinu Nechtam, Pasol, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, Tam Dena Get Yotzim Dachas Yeshem, Get Yotzim Dachas Yeshem, Michshiri Rabbanan, right? The rabbi should have accepted that as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda. So Amalei In, so he says, yeah, about that. V'hasim Din Lo Amrlan Hachi, but he says, well, sometimes you said the other way. If the get was Yotzim Dachas Yeshem, we've getting conflicting messages. So Amalei, so he says, Yaseid He, Shalo Samud. He says, this is the final word on this topic, that is to say, get Yotzi Mitach Chesidei Shneihem Michshiri Rabbanan. So the final word, after all of the back and forth, is just like we said, that there's a Takana de Rabbanan, that if you have Echad, Shehevi Esaget, and again, Echad specifically because of the Aguna problem, so where we're going to be Mekel for Echad. So the same thing is true of Shneihem, if you have two that come from the Dina Sayam, and the get is Yotzi Mitach Chesidei Shneihem, the rabbis are going to approve of this situation. And again, as we explained before, right, we made a point of noting in the past that, you know, there's the issue here is the special ne'manos that the rabbis gave, you know, in the context of, the shliach being maybe the get mivdinas hayam. And again, whether that's an issue of bikiyas lishma, or whether that's actually an issue of, you know, kiyam shtaros de'alma, and Rabba will tell you he endorses the shita of Rava as well, the bottom line is that this is the way that it's going to come down in any context. So let me just say good morning to Eli Sheva. We're just going to continue on with the Mishnah at the bottom of Yitzayin Amud Aleph with the following hakdama. So, you know, I'm not in charge of it, but I was discussing with somebody last night the institution called Gemara Boot Camp. Gemara Boot Camp is like, you know, very interesting concept to me. So if I was running Gemara Book Boot Camp, you know, one of the drills that I would do is something called Shtar Mukdam Puzzle. So we're going to get to this a lot more in the Zikin. But the great crisis of the economy is not only inflation, as we know today, but a shtar mukdam. What's so bad about a shtar mukdam? So we know if we have a post-dated shtar, it's not great, but the evidence kosher. We always like our shtar to be accurate. But a shtar mukdam, Ken, is going to be a disaster, right? Because we have the whole institution of shtar kala islay, that a shtar is a public document, and the whole markets function based on this publicly available information, right? You don't even need to do insider trading. So that means to say, if Reuven loaned Shimon $1 billion, and it's a milva b'shtar, we all know that Shimon's on the hook for $1 billion. He's got liquidity problems, or at least he's taking a huge loan, and then I'm going to go do business with Shimon. I have to know that if Shimon defaults on the loan, who's paying up? I'm paying up, right? Because I did business with Shimon after he took that loan. But wait a second. Let's say the shtar is predated. That's totally unfair, right? If the shtar halva was predated, right? I did business with Shimon on June 2nd, right? Really, he took the loan on June 5th. The document says he took the loan on May 5th. That means that if he defaults on the loan, my assets can be seized wrongly. At that point, he didn't take the loan. It's a shtar mukdam. The shtar is predated. So a shtar mukdam is completely possible. Now, those of you who remember, we started, you know, with Rosh Hashanah, October 11th, 2021. So the first sugya that we saw, the first day of our Daf Yomi, Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi had a machlokes, which is always good to remember. Is the shtar mukdam completely dead on arrival, or could be only used for, you know, Shimon to pay his loan to Reuven? It's still valid for those purposes, but the lekuchos are going to be off the hook. That's a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos, whether the shtar is completely dead. But everybody, we're all good on this point, that the shtar mukdam is possible, because it's totally unfair to lekuchos, right? That they're going to have assets seized shalochadin. Now, let's now be clear, right? So Elisheva, earlier in the week, what we were talking about, and you raised a point about this, was what's the relationship between Gitei Nashim and Shtaros Ta'alma? We keep on going back and forth and saying, oh, well, we're really concerned that the standards of Gitei Nashim and the standards of, you know, Shtaros Ta'alma are going to be confused one for the other, right? It's a type of shtar. So do we care when it comes to Gitei Nashim whether it's really mukdam? I mean, you don't really have this problem of lekuchos, do you? It's not the same kind of a financial instrument, it's a ritual object. So that's going to be the question that the Mishnah is interested in, okay? The timing, right? Remember what we said, that the timing, you know, was one of those few things that's really important. The Shita Achas that had to be written, the Shema, what did we say early in the work? L'shem HaBaal, L'shem HaIsha, and what was the third criterion? The Zman. The Zman should matter. So let's get into that discussion. So Nichta Bayom, V'nechtam bayom, that's going to be fine. Balayla v'nechtam balayla. Balayla v'nechtam bayom, kosher. All those cases are going to be perfectly acceptable. However, bayom, if it's going to be written during the halachic daytime, v'nechtam balayla, and the get is signed at night. Now, this is a new halachic day. So technically speaking, it's a get mukdam, technically speaking, right? Because it was produced during the day, when it wasn't yet effective for delivery. So Chacham say pasul. Rabbi Shimon Machshir. Shai Rabbi Shimon Omer. Kol Gitn Shenichtavu Beyov Nechtem Bavalayla Psulin. It's a Shtar Muktam Chutz Midiyte Nashim. Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai said, "Why do you care? What's the difference? Why would you care about a get?" So as a general matter, there seems to be machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, why we care about a zman and a get. So one idea is that if a person married their niece, and she was a mizana, and he doesn't have the heart for her to face justice, right? If she was mizana, that means technically, zman shebeis hamikdash kayim, she could face the death penalty of eishes ish. So this husband, uncle, right, he produces a fraudulent document. The get was delivered 3 weeks ago after her, you know, znus is discovered. So he says, oh, well, she was really divorced at the time, right? You know, not everybody is spiteful in the world, thank God. You know, some people, you know, aren't looking to withhold getting. Some people are looking to, you know, help people out. So that might be one factor. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Reish Lakish Amar Mishum Peros. So Reish Lakish says it has to do with peros. Remember, going back to Masech Leksubos, that there are two kinds of assets. I think I would put this in boot camp also, when it comes to what Anisha brings into marriage. Remember, there's the Nichtzei Tzon Barzel, where the husband has access to the assets, but he guarantees their principal. So let's say I marry, you know, a Reichstamadel, and, you know, she's bringing in $1 billion into the marriage, the Nichtzei Tzon Barzel. That means I can take that $1 billion and invest it in whatever I want. It will not be with Elon Musk's spaceships, okay? But I have to give her back $1 billion. That's Nichsei Son Barzel. Remember, Nichsei Malog is a little bit different. Nichsei Malog means I don't have access to the guf, but I do have access to the peros. So that is what Reish Lakish is referring to here. He says, Mishum Peros. How long do I have access to the peros? As long as we're married. Right? If we're divorced, right? Those aren't my peros anymore, okay? Yeah, Elisheva, go ahead.
It's a small point, but this is the second time, I think, or more than the first time, that the Gemara mentions the case of being married to his niece. Is it choosing that case specifically for a reason, or it's just serving as an example?
Closest halachic marriage that's not arayos.
Okay, got it.
Excellent question. Okay, so Reish Lakish, my time lomer kibbi yochan, amr l'cha, so he says, yodzayin abbeis, that's not a typical case. So we're not going to have zman begitten, and not going to make a takana of zman begitten because of a situation where lo aleinu, you know, a person is married to a very close relation of theirs, not incest, but close relation, and she does something terrible. So Rabbi Yochanan, my time alone with Reish Lakish, Kesavri Yesh Lebaal Peros Ad Shas Nesina. He says, I don't care about that. Why would zman be written into getin? He has peros until he actually delivers the get, because we know v'chasal la'seva krisos. Vinasan biyado. That's one of the dinim doraisa of the get. So bishlam the Reish Lakish muhafki kamachshir. Rabbi Shimon al Rabbi Yochanan my time the Rabbi Shimon demachshir. Why is Rabbi Shimon machshir? Shouldn't he be concerned? I'm lechor Rabbi Yochanan. Leave it to Rabbi Shimon lo kamina. You're right. Rabbi Shimon, you know, and I can't work together. Ki kamina. Leave it to Rabbanan. I'm only working according to the majority that has a problem with the get muktam. So bishlam the Rabbi Yochanan hayadika bin Rabbi Shimon the Rabbanan. A very clear distinction. Al Reish Lakish ma'ika bin Rabbi Shimon the Rabbanan. So we say peiri di mishas ksiva. So what Reish Lakish is going to say, the distinction is whether or not the Baal can continue to enjoy the peros from the moment the get is written or all the way until Shas Nesina. Okay? So the Gemara says, but I thought we had him on the record on that topic. So Reish Lakish is already being on the record as saying that the you have until Shas Nesina to benefit from the peros. So the Gemara says, Epoch, we have to reverse the tradition. That must really be the Shita Rabbi Yochanan. The other, Mishas Ksiva, is the Shita Reish Lakish. Just one thought. You might wonder to yourself, and then we'll go to Ken, why do we care about the Shas Ksiva if the get isn't in effect until you actually transmit the get, until you actually deliver the get? So why do I care that the get has been written? Why can't the Baal continue to enjoy peros? He has writes these peros as long as they're married. And are they technically married? Well, of course. They're technically married until they get it delivered. But here, this is what I call the principle of bad faith. There's a principle of bad faith here. If the get has already been written up, and then you want to go out to breakfast, you're going to, you know, meet her at 11 a.m. to deliver the get, and you want to go out to breakfast on her dime, that's bad faith. That's not what the takana. Remember when we learned Ksuvos, we said, what's the takana of Peros by Nechse Malo? We said that exists as one of the tanaim within the marriage. He takes care of her, he supports her, She'era, Ksuso, Nasa, Lo Yigra, elements which are Doraisa, elements which are Derabanan. So if the get is everything but delivered, if it's signed, sealed, not delivered, you think he really has a right to those payros? Well, technically, maybe, right? But come on, that's a bad faith application. So there's a very reasonable distinction to be drawn there, Ken.
But the opposite case, a lot of times I imagine someone writes a get, and then has second thoughts about it, and that never delivers it. So now you have two cases, you know, a type A and a type B error. What's going to happen? Does he worry he doesn't get the belug while he's written in and decides not to give it? Or as you say, he takes another, on the wife's dime, gets another meal out of it.
Ken, since I'm at home, I'm going to take advantage of a prop I wouldn't have. What are these, Ken?
Scissors.
Yeah, that's what you do. You rip it up. If he wrote it and doesn't want to deliver it, you rip it up. That's the halach.
Well, he hasn't ripped it up yet, I mean.
Yeah, then he shouldn't be going on to it. Let him rip it up and then he could go out to breakfast. That's the halacha. You don't carry around a loaded gun. If he's not ready to rip it up, he's got to pay for his own breakfast while he thinks that went over. Sorry. I'm on her side on that issue. I'm actually uniquely offended by that case. Never can conjure that up. Right? He wants to have breakfast on her dime while he thinks about divorcing her. Why do they think of these things? Alicia, what are we going to do with these guys? Okay. All right. So back in the Gemara. We'll see what the cases are. So there are certain things the rabbis wanted in the get, but ultimately it's going to be kasher b'di'eved, and we're not going to say the vlad is a mamzer. So malu yuchacham mitakanasan, ahana de l'chatchila lo sinase. This is l'chatchila. So one of them is gazel zman didei v'yohave nihala. So let's say a guy cuts out the zman. So technically speaking, if you don't have the zman, it would be kasher. So mai, so amalai l'ramai lo chayshinan, right? That's a crazy case, right? You know, that a person is literally going to cut out the zman. That wasn't the case that we're so much talking about. So kasavo shavua, so let's say the year in terms of the yovel cycle is written, but not, so it's the third year of, fifth Shemitah cycle within the yovel. Or Shana, it's the third year within that Shemitah cycle, the Chodesh, the month, the Shabbos, but you don't have the actual day, it's a Mai. So I'm like Kasher. So what do they get out of it? So Enel Shavuot de Kameh, the Shavuot de Basrei, the Lose Mahachi, Yom Agufe, Miyadina, Nimitzafra, Omipanya, Ul Yom de Kameh, Ul Yom de Basrei, Hachanami, Ahani, the Shavuot de Kameh, Ul Shavuot de Basrei. So the Gemara says, you're right, that obviously it's better to have more precision. But the more information you have, the better, right, in terms of when this get went into effect. And it says, reductio ad absurdum, you know, the furthest that we take it down with a get is we don't have an atomic clock there with us. We say the get is written, you know, on whatever it is, Yud Gimel Sivan Tav Shin Pei Gimel, right? The get is delivered on Yud Gimel Sivan Tav Shin Pei Gimel. Fine, right? That's the way that we would do it. But you wouldn't necessarily know if it was 9 a.m. or 9:05 a.m. or 8:51 a.m., right? You wouldn't necessarily know about that. So the Gemara is saying you want as much precision as possible, but, you know, even in the optimal level, you're not going to get, you know, to the second. So I'm there, Ravina L'Rava, Kasve V'Osve B'Kiste, Di Mefaisa Tifayes Mai. Okay? So let's say, you know, he writes it, okay, getting back to what we were discussing before, and, you know, he puts it in a kist. He puts it in his, let's say, his safe with his other documents. And, you know, he's, Ken's, fellow over here. And he says that, you know, if we're able to be, you know, mifuyas, to work things out, you know, our ktatos, as Rashi says, they're getting marriage counseling, whatever. So what do we say about that? So Amalei lo makdim inish puranusa lenafshe. This is a very fascinating principle that the Gemara wants to cite. We'll hold it up after this point, but I just wanted to get this in. So just like we have in general in halacha when it comes to the calendar dating, we say the principle is ikdume puranus lo mikadmina, and that we don't move up puranus. So we say the same thing is really true, right, that when it comes to how people behave for themselves. If you take a look at Rashi in the third line, Rashi is an important formulation here. He says, L'regili l'mi'avid hachi. People don't really behave this way. L'anuche b'kiste. D'keva d'lo nichale b'geirishin. Puranus u'l'gabe. V'lo makdim le. So this is like a very irregular form of behavior, that if he's not really sure that he wants to be divorced, right? So we're not going to say that, you know, he's going to, you know, hold on to this, right, with the date that it was actually written on, and being mocked in Puranus Lanafshe. You know, he's not thinking about the get as a happy thing. If he was, he would have delivered it already. So, you know, if he would produce a get and it would, you know, just sort of be sitting there, you know, with that earlier time, well, we don't really think a person is going to deliver a get like that, because people, you know, aren't going to want to say that the Puranus which came upon them, and listen, you know, getting is a form of Puranus, that hopefully something that we believe they invested in pretty heavily and pretty sincerely, you know, we would like to believe that you know, they're not happy that it didn't work out. So we're not really afraid. Just like we said before, the case of Arayos is a case which is not Shechicha. So too here, we're not going to worry too much about this case where a person, you know, really, you know, didn't deliver this get till 3 months later. It's been hiding in his drawer somewhere. We consider that to be a Chashash Rachok. That's not really something that would be a natural form of behavior for people to do. Okay, so just to summarize what we saw today, and then we'll pick it up on Sunday. We'll make up a little bit of additional ground. And again, I want to thank everybody so much for their flexibility today. Are the following ideas? So we talked about get yotze mitachas yedei shneihem. We have a situation where the get, just like yotze mitachas echad, is, you know, very, very important. So it's mitachas yedei shneihem. So that's very, very significant. And they have an additional level of credibility because apishnaim edim yakum davar. The Gemara says that after all the back and forth, we say the Rabbanan are going to be machshir such a situation of a get yotze mitachas yedei shneihem. Then we talked about how shtar muktam in general for sure is possible. The question is, by gitei nashim, how much do we care about the shtar muktam and how much do we not care about the shtar muktam? So that was a machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Shimon, which led the Gemara to a broader discussion. Why do we care about the zman and gittin entirely? So Rabbi Yochanan thought it was for an unusual situation of l'chapo salaha, to cover up for her snus, and Reish Lakish says that's to do with peros. And then we dealt with Ken's issue, which is peros mishas ksiva or peros mishas tesina. Technically speaking, he's entitled to peros as long as they're married. But from once the get is written, it doesn't really make sense. It's a bad faith that he should be able to enjoy these peros. The Gemara debates the point, but he says, you know, technically speaking, he would be allowed to have them. But if the get is written, you know, what right do you have to benefit from her peros? It's really, peros are a din in the marriage, in the functionality of the marriage, not because you haven't yet met her to deliver the get, you know. And if you're strongly enough, you know, considering it, as I said, you know, pay for your own meal. Good. Okay, so the last point that the Gemara makes is that we don't think people are makdim puranus. Just like we say when it comes to the calendar, akdume puranus lo mikadminan, right? If Tisha B'Av is chalios b'Shabbos, we don't fast on Shabbos, we don't move it up to Thursday, we push it back to Sunday. We don't think that people are eager for puranus. The same thing is true of gittin. A person isn't happy about a divorce. A person isn't going to be makdim, you know, a get, you know, al yado, if he, you know, wrote it up and threw it into a safe somewhere, you know, because he's really hoping that the marriage works itself out, right? We're not really choshesh for such a case where, you know, he really delivered the get, I don't know, a year later after the marriage counseling didn't work out, you know, it's got this, you know, earlier date to it. Nobody wants to be mocked in those kinds of puranos l'nafshe. So let me just give Ken the last word.
continuing with this, the scissors analogy.